بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. السلام عليكم. Welcome to Young Black Muslima, the journey from hip hop to hip hop. This is the chapter that is continuing. We went through the intro and just really how it came to be Islam in my life and Allah continuously guiding me. Subhanallah, it's 2024, and as I sit here, I think about 2015 was the year I converted to Islam. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. So let's go back a little bit and just take you through this journey. I was living in Newark, New Jersey, and actually I was living in Bloomfield, New Jersey. I was working in Manhattan. I remember it like it was yesterday. Lower East Side, close to the Village, more so. And it was for the celebrity hairstylist. At the time, I was doing a lot of research on who I am and where I want to go. And this woman, you know, she was so inspiring, and I saw her business and I just saw a black woman doing her thing. We met through a mutual friend after she saw me perform some poetry that was all about empowering women. You know, as I said in the previous intro, Allah gave me just a passion to empower women, like, you know, until I realized that empowerment is not something that you can give. It's something that exists inside of every human being, and you can only motivate someone to empower themselves. So I worked for her, I would say, for no longer than like 4 to 6 months. So basically, you know, she made these amazing like yaki hair wigs, like, you know, like they looked like real black women's hair. I was really impressed. And she just was running all of this with her children. She had two children. She's just a boss, like Brownstone in Brooklyn. You know, she's from the Bronx originally. And, you know, and she just stepped into her power and her queendom. And it was just so impressive to see. I never seen that up close and got to watch the day to day of that. And then I realized, you know, just certain things about myself were shifting. I was like heavy into crystals and like, you know, just learning a lot about like, you know, different spirituality. Like definitely understanding the connection between, you know, existing and non-existing. Like, what does it mean to die? What does it mean to live? And I was just hanging around a lot of different people in Brooklyn. Definitely was a vibe. You know, it was just something out of the 90s, to be honest. I was wearing my Dooku head wrap all the way high up. And everywhere I went, I was just feeling like the queen that God made me to be. Subhanallah. It was this one particular day that, you know, she asked me to wear one of the wigs. And I was like, not really feeling it. I was covering my hair a lot because I wanted to protect my crown, right? I was like, I gotta protect my energy. And I was like, I don't really want to wear the wig. Like, you know, mad people been wearing those wigs. Like, the energy is everything. And so she had me trying the wig, take some photos. And she was like, well, how are you gonna work here and not believe in the product that we sell? And I was just like, that's true. If that's how you feel, you know, because I was just managing, you know, opening the store. She really trusted me to open up the store. And I think at the time I was like 24. I've never had that type of responsibility. And these are like $1 million, like, you know, clients that are coming in, spending thousands of dollars on wigs. And so, yeah, I just was like overwhelmed. I think it was a lot. And I was getting paid more than I ever got paid in my life. You know, without a college degree. And I was like really trying my best to not get too excited, because I know something like that, so good, it could change in an instant. And, you know, she was just like, I got a lot going on. There's so much I have, you know, going on, and I really need a lot of help. I was like, I'm here for you, whatever you need. You know, I'm here to, you know, support you and, like, you know, make sure everything you need gets done. So I was writing, like, you know, responses to journal entries for her, like people who were writing stories about her. I was doing all of this work. And then I realized I'm not doing any work, like, on myself. I felt like she vibrated so high because she was able to achieve all of these amazing things in her life. She was able to get to this success point of earning such a beautiful income and, like, being wealthy, earning designer, like, purses, like, owning all of these, you know, different, you know, wigs or whatever. But it was slowly starting to sink in that I didn't realize that a success because she wasn't happy. She was stressed. And I was like, if I ever get to a point where I'm good on coin, like I'm good on money, I don't want to stress. I want to relax and, you know, just go to God and take my time with, you know, that process and understand who I am within that time and not, you know, because some people get stuck. When you get money, you just stay in the same place and you just try to maintain face, right? Bars. So I was just thinking about it, like, how is it that a lot of people can come to their best place in their life and not be happy? It's everything that they worked for, but they're not happy. So I just, you know, wanted to be there for her. And I remember she asked me to go to Brooklyn to do something for her at her home. You know, now it's getting on the personal side of business where she got comfortable, and I was like, sure, no problem. And it was just to see how she, like, gets creative and how she vibes, right? So went there. And then after I left out, I came out of that space. I realized I wasn't really vibing off her energy. I can see through her. And so I didn't feel like she really wanted to help me as a Black woman. Like, I feel like it was just for whatever she needed. It wasn't really to show me how to be my own boss. Like, you know, some people just want you to work with them just to need them, right? And that's really not a good thing. Because if you're working on abandonment issues, or if you're working on, you know, not being attached or codependency, you shouldn't want that type of relationship with anybody you look up to. They should be showing you how to be your own individual. So from there, it was like just 2 short months that went by so fast, January to March. I moved to Brooklyn from New Jersey, Jersey girl in Brooklyn, crazy. And I remember coming into work. I remember when I came into work and I was like, I moved to Brooklyn. You know, I'm closer now, I can help you. And she looked at me and was like, oh, like as if, oh, I'm paying you enough for you to move from Jersey to Brooklyn, right? And I didn't tell her how, because I had roommates, I had friends that I knew, because I was always in New York, I was always in Brooklyn, even before I met her. And the following day, I came in, she was there, and she said, you know, I just don't feel like you're a good fit anymore, and I feel like you don't take this seriously, what I do. And then she uttered out of her mouth, I'm the one that earns all the money. What will you guys do without me? I'm going to have to let you go because I can't support my people. I'm tired of supporting my people. I feel like people just take advantage of my kindness. Like, I remember it word for word because I was watching her mouth move. I was like, well, I was dependent on this income, this sole income, to make sure I could afford living in Brooklyn. And as painful as that was, it was something I needed to experience to realize that I have to learn on my own. I have to grow on my own. And so in that very moment, I realized that God had a plan for me, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was. And I walked out of her establishment with all the fear in my chest, sweating, panting. I just signed a sublease. It was a month-to-month lease, but it was a sublease that I was like, I'm here to do something and I want to live in New York. I want to try it out. Because I was like, I don't want to get a car. I don't want to have to go through that. I want to live in New York. And so, yeah, it was a huge step. It was a huge step, and it changed a lot for me, and it changed how I saw myself. It changed my relationship with God. It changed my connection to Islam and what I understood it was to be a young Muslima, like what I understood it was to step into a room and have so much self-respect that people have no other option but to come at you correct. Alhamdulillah, I'm grateful to be a Muslim, and I'm grateful to take you on this journey and just like take you back as I reflect on it. SubhanAllah, 8 years a Muslim. Crazy. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode today. This is the first installment in chapter one. You guys heard the intro before, and just, keep coming back. Keep listening to this journey because there might be something here you can connect to. And within this, I hope that you will appreciate my story because it's not something that I share with people. It's not something that's easy for me to express because there's also hard moments in here where I'm thinking like, yo, you really went through all of this and you still out here smiling. You still out here thriving. And you can only thank Allah for that. Alhamdulillah. So I hope that this lifts someone up and helps someone feel that it's gonna be okay and like you good where you at right now. You know what I mean? Like, don't stress. Be blessed. Be in your zone. Allah got you. Allah is gonna return you home. Just be patient. Because everything that you have ever wanted has been waiting. SubhanAllah. It was crazy. I feel like I've been rhyming a lot on here. This is not on purpose, I promise. Yeah, Allah. I feel like this is the perfect place to just do that because naturally, like, a writer and a poet and MC, like, I feel compelled to rhyme things. But, like, this is just such a dope flow. My other episodes were very informative, educational, and like, connected to what I've learned. And, they will continue to be, but the story needed to be told first so that I can release. Like, it just needed to be told. And I really wanted to connect to a different group of sisters that understand, like, the journey from hip hop to hip hop. Like you listen to artists like Brand Nubian, you listen to artists like Poor Righteous Teachers, like artists who talk about Islam and their music, and you don't know what's going on. You just hear certain things. Even Lauryn Hill said, "Don't forget about the Deen, the Sirat al-Mustaqim." Like, that's crazy. Like, she's talking about Islam, and you don't realize it until you become Muslim or until you hear it, and you may grow up around Islam, and you're like, "What? Did she just say what I think she said?" Come on, this is golden, and we have to cherish it. We have to understand that no one should feel like they should have to change who they are, who God made them to be, because we should feel blessed to be exactly who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us to be within our culture, within our struggle, within our purpose. We should always feel like we're worth it. Like, y'all, we're gonna come back with the next episode, going deeper into these pages in chapter one. I'm so excited to just bring you guys on a journey with me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace.